Howdy, y'all. I'm country superstar Donnie Clapper. Plug in your earbuds, turn off your lights, because you're listening to the Juice Box Music Podcast. Just about the best podcast in the world.
Welcome to Juice Box Music Podcast. I'm your host, Hunter McClamrock, and joining me, getting totally wired, it's your hip priest, Nick Moreau.
Hi. I just never know what you're going to say.
So I'm just trying to throw you off a little bit. So let's talk about the week in music news this week. First off, one of the stories that caught our eye, Elton John announces that he will retire from touring.
Yep.
How is he going to do this? With a 300-date, three-year-long tour. Nick, have you had the pleasure of seeing Elton John before live and in concert?
I saw him once. I guess it counts. I saw him at his Vegas show a few years ago. I think like 2010, maybe.
That's great. I've been wanting to go to that show.
It was really good. It was so good.
Well, not many performers that are still around can probably fill like a 2 hour long plus show with hits.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you go there and go song. It's pretty amazing. I mean, the announcement of the tour, I think when I first read the headline, I was like, oh, wow. And then I read the article. I was like, wait, 3 years, 300 dates?
That's a long retirement, but I wanted to mention that Elton John did a tour in 2015 called the Final Curtain Tour, which was supposed to be his farewell to extensive touring, where he was going to hit smaller markets. And then he said he was only going to do larger markets in Vegas from then. And he's done at least one tour since then. So yeah. I don't know if we take him at his word with this final tour business. What do you think?
I kind of think it's true, though. He's 70. So by the time this ends, he's going to be 73, I think.
And he has fairly young kids, I think.
Exactly. And I think part of the reason, from what I read, is that he wants to be involved in his kids' life a little more. Or they were looking at the school schedule and he realized that he needs to slow down in order to do that. So I think it's probably true. I mean, 300 days, even if you're like 21, that's a pretty intense schedule.
Yeah, definitely.
For 3 years. But I would say if you've never seen Elton John live and you like some of his music, you probably don't realize you like a lot of his music.
Yeah.
I would go check him out because I'm sure it's going to be great. And, you know, he's one of these icons that I think if you like music, you have to go see. I was reading he's the third most successful musician in terms of Billboard charts since 1958.
Wow. I didn't know that, but it doesn't really surprise me.
Number one being the Beatles and number two being Madonna and then Elton John, number three.
Okay. I mean, he's had hits extending throughout a period of 40 years at least. And I'm trying to think of other farewell tours recently and a lot of them don't stick. So we'll see, like Cher went on a very long farewell tour, I remember.
Yeah.
Jay-Z, but he's already back.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, go see these icons when you can. That's one of the reasons I've been meaning to go check out his show in Las Vegas, because it might be one of the last times I'm able to catch him. And after a couple years ago when David Bowie died, it made me realize that it is worth seeking out these kind of icons if you never got the chance. I felt very lucky that I had been able to see Prince perform before he passed.
Yeah.
And similarly, like I immediately went to see Bruce Springsteen that same year, just in case. Really regret. I almost went to the last show that Tom Petty ever played. I was moments away from getting tickets to that. And that's something that I definitely regret.
No, I hear you. Well,
not you're going to be able to say that Elton John is going to die anytime soon. I don't.
No, but I mean, if it's his last tour, I mean, it's his last tour. So you know, you might want to go see them and you'll have a chance. I think he's playing LA and
near you. Yeah, like if you wherever you are.
Yeah, exactly. So the good news is 300 dates, you have a chance to go catch him. To you, he's playing big arenas, which I think probably won't sell out instantly. But who knows? You know, there's a lot of Elton John fans. That's my, you know, I have a pretty strong love for his music. It's probably my dad's favorite musician. Listening to Elton John a lot, and so I'll probably try to go catch him. And
yeah, maybe you and your dad can check out a show in the next 3 years.
I think he's been to 15 Elton John shows.
Wow.
Yeah. He's been to a lot. And the other thing I'll say is, like, he's one of those artists that he definitely has at least one classic album. I mean, classic and all-time great. Like, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road is still, if you put that on, you'll still be like, wow, this is an amazing album.
And that's a double album. The whole thing. And the tour is called the Farewell Yellow Brick Road Tour.
Yeah.
So I think he probably acknowledges that as his high point. But I mean, I think he's got half a dozen albums that are just about perfect.
Yeah. I mean, some of those songs, you can't even start a list. You'd probably have a list of 30 songs that you're like, these are so good. So
yeah,
it's going to be a great set list. That's for sure.
For sure. All right, cool. Well, check that out. I definitely hope to catch a date on that or in Vegas. At some point, I think he's got two shows at the Staples Center on this tour.
Yeah.
And speaking of icons that have passed this week, we lost, the Fall frontman, Mark E. Smith, Fall, a band from Manchester, been around, I believe since the late 70s, and kind of becoming well known more in the 80s and then in the early 90s, especially over here in the States. I think Mark E. Smith was 60 years old. And they were a really influential band just throughout their history into the 90s. And their influence today, particularly, I think is very strong in a lot of young British bands. I know we talked about them on the episode where we reviewed Songs of Praise by Shame. Yeah, I mean, and he was a famously difficult personality. If you look at his Wikipedia page, there's a huge section that's just dedicated to personality. He was like a reactionary contrarian. He really, really hated London and identified with the north of England and Scotland. I think I read a quote with him saying that his favorite things in life were Scottish people, cats, Coronation Street, and the band Can.
Yeah.
And he was a huge Manchester City fan. So I'm sorry that he probably didn't get to see the conclusion of this year's, which they've been destroying it. But you know, the Fall's music is very dense. He's very literate with his lyrics, has a lot to say. A lot of times it's kind of, they were kind of spoken word dirges with crazy kind of krautrock influenced guitars. Never my favorite band of this era because I didn't think the tunes were as good as some other bands, but for a lot of people, they were a lot of people's favorite band. They were a really big cult band. And I think a lot of people, musicians especially, will be affected by his loss for sure.
I agree. Yeah. Well, I mean, we've seen an outpouring of, articles and tweets mourning his death. I think for people that aren't familiar with The Fall, they might be familiar with his guest vocal on the Gorillaz track Glitter Freeze on Plastic Beach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I think, if you're looking for a good place to start, I like they have a compilation called A-Sides. Mm-hmm. I think they, over the course of the Fall's career, they released 30-something albums. Huge amount. He was hugely prolific. They had an album out just last year and a date that ended up being canceled at a festival in Kentucky that because his health was already in decline. But the A-Sides is a great place to start, or some of their better-known albums like Hex, Induction Hour. I definitely think that you know, the influence of him and the Fall will be continue to gain strength through the next few years for sure. I'm a fan of the director, Paul Thomas Anderson. He just directed a new video for Haim. Have you seen that, Nick?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, I just watched it. It's like it's a cool video of their performance at the Greek Theater. Paul Thomas Anderson might be the only reason I would be watching a Haim video. But I thought I'd throw that in there. Any music and film fans might want to check that out. I think he's only directed videos ever for them and for Radiohead. So They're in good company there.
Yeah, very good company.
And one final story for the week. Definitely my favorite story. Earlier this week, we learned that Jamaican rapper Shaggy is going to be doing a collaborative album with Sting. So this is a full album of collaborations. It's being released on April 20th this year, 420. For some reason, I can't think of why.
I don't know.
And, you know, I'm not a big Sting fan. I never really, really liked him that much, or even the Police. And I'm welcoming the Shaggy collaboration. I think that'll be good for him. I think it'll lighten him up a little bit. They released one song called Don't Make Me Wait. And I have to say, I kind of like it.
Didn't they describe, I think Shaggy described it as like, don't you want to make babies to this music? Something like, asked about it. So that's what they're going for. I mean, yeah, it's fine. I mean, Sting being, didn't he do like a collaboration album with Craig David, or was it just one song? Like, I can't remember.
But I don't know.
I think they're both trying to maybe get relevant again. I mean, Sting, I guess, is always relevant, and he could tour with the Police and, yeah, it'd be sold out everywhere probably. But the last time I heard about Shaggy, I actually was driving cross country from North Carolina to Portland in 2012. And I was going through Minot's, North Dakota. And there was a billboard that was announcing his show at the local casino. So, you know, Shaggy maybe going from playing casinos in small towns to, you know, putting out an album with Sting might help him.
Well, I feel similarly about that, because I was just a few months ago, it was September. I was in Paso Robles, a wine country in Central California, and he was performing that same night in San Luis Obispo, which is 20 miles away. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't thought about Shaggy in a while. And he was massive, like when I was in high school.
Oh yeah.
And yeah, I mean, those hits were like huge. And I was like, oh, wow, Shaggy, he's playing this little venue here, and there are tickets still available. And then I looked at his tour schedule, and he was doing small towns or small cities up and down California. Like, a lot of artists come to California, and they play the major cities. He had 10 or 12 dates, wow, casinos and different places like that. And I was surprised to see him being so active, and then I was surprised by, you know, kind of the size of the venues. Mm-hmm. But it's only a few months later, he's got this project coming out with Sting. So I think, yeah, that'll put him back on the map in a big way.
Yeah. Do you think we need a full album of that collaboration?
Absolutely not. But if they're going to tour, they need enough material. I was reading a little bit about it today. It looks like that song, Shaggy wrote the song and brought it to Sting.
Yeah.
And Sting had such a good time in the studio with Shaggy that they decided to do a whole album. I'm definitely pro Shaggy.
I love reading about how this like Shaggy talking about how they're very similar. They have a lot in common. I love these articles about the album. They're great.
And you don't think there's any, you know, medicinal herbs involved in their in their mutual appreciation?
I think that's probably
I mean, I wouldn't want to speculate. No. But
yeah, I think it's a fair assessment. I'd take that bet. But yeah, it's great for them. I mean, we'll see what happens. I don't know how much I'll listen to that album. I mean, when I listened to the song, I was like, man, this is fine. But like, if you get 10 of these songs, there's a lot of Shaggy and Sting.
Well, that's the way I feel anytime there's a Sting album on. I got to get through 10 tracks of Sting on his own. So I'll probably, I'll probably give this one a listen and see how it is when it comes out on 420. A lot of people streaming on that day with medicinal in hand. That'll be good.
It's a little release party.
Exactly. Way high up. All right. Well, that's the week in music. You've been listening to anything else this week, Nick, before we start getting into our reviews?
Yeah. I want to mention that I have been listening to the Alex G album that you referenced in your top 10 of 2017.
Rocket.
Yeah, it's great. It's really great. I had a great time listening to it.
Yeah, really, it's really diverse and keeps your attention the whole time, I think.
Yeah. So, you know, I listened to it probably a couple times, and I just caught myself constantly being like, wow, this is a great song. So I'll definitely spend more time with it this year, and I'm thinking it'll probably make my list of things I discovered this year but that were really released last year. And then another few songs I've been listening to. The first, I think it's, they released five songs now. No, four songs off of Rye's upcoming album called Blood. I think it comes out on February 2nd.
Okay.
And we might be spending more time with it. I'm not sure yet, but I will say those four songs, I'm really into them.
I get to hear anything from their new album yet, but I really liked their debut a few years back and caught them at the El Rey, and it was a great show. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, I think if you like the debut, this is really good.
Great.
Yeah.
For me,
what about you?
Yeah, this week, most of the things I was listening to outside of the albums we're going to review were some things I got on vinyl in the past few weeks. I got a really good deal on this deluxe edition of Urban Hymns by The Verve.
Nice.
And it's not even my favorite Verve album, but I now have a 6 LP version of it. Well, it's really like the double album and then a B-sides album and a live album.
Mm-hmm.
The Urban Hymn still stands up. I mean, Bittersweet Symphony is an all-time great song, and the album is really good head to toe. I had not heard a lot of the B-sides, and I haven't gone and listened to the live album yet either, but I definitely will do that in the next few days.
That's great.
And also this, getting back into the Catherine Wheel a little bit, I was listening to their album Chrome. Mm-hmm. Year, I think it's from like 94, 95, sometime in the mid-90s. Really good, like, hard-edged, spacey, tuneful rock music.
Yeah.
And it's a really good album, and just kind of happy to dive back into that. But that's a bit about it week.
Yeah. Great. You got that one on vinyl just this week?
I did. Yeah, they just reissued their first two albums, Ferment and Chrome, on music on vinyl. It's a label in Europe. And they hadn't been available since they were initially issued in the early 90s. And, you know, they're worth a lot of money now because vinyl wasn't printed so much back then.
Yeah.
It was kind of the CD dominant era.
Yeah.
So I'm happy to have that one in my collection.
Great.
And going back to Thomas Anderson, I've still been listening to the Phantom Thread soundtrack, Johnny Greenwood's Phantom Thread soundtrack, all the time around the house.
Yeah. I still need to see the movie before I listen to it.
Movie is kind of an obsession of mine now. I'm like constantly quoting it and thinking about it. So I'm probably going to go see it for a third time this week.
Oh, wow. Sounds awesome.
Well, cool. That's been our week. Okay, so we have two reviews for you guys this week. Two brand new albums just released this past Friday. We're going to start with The Spook School, Could It Be Different?
Hmm.
Nick, I wanted to ask you, were you familiar with The Spook School before you heard this album?
Yeah, I was familiar. I don't think it was their debut. It was their second album, I believe. Did it come out 2 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was 2015. So
yeah,
almost 3 years ago.
And I really liked it. I thought it was a really good album. I think it's called Try to Be Hopeful, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And I really liked it. I think I like this one better, though. I think Could It Be Different is better. I I think it's a much more fun album. I think it's they're coming into their own. I will say it is the most fun I've had with an album this year so far.
That's cool. Yeah, let's a little background on the Spook School. They're a four-piece band from Edinburgh, Scotland. They formed at university. Mm-hmm. This is their third album. I think the first one came out in 2012, 2015, and now 2018. They're kind of imagine like Scottish pop punk if Belle and Sebastian and Blink 182 had a baby. It would be somewhat in this vein, I think.
And that alone is just interesting enough to listen to it. Yeah. I think, you know, when if you read pop punk band from Scotland, you're like, yeah, I should probably check it out. Sounds great.
Yeah, it's like if you have like the energy of American pop punk, if you think about they actually remind me a lot of Joyce Manor, who I was talking about last week. Mm-hmm. Their lyrics are a little bit different, but there's a sense of fun and also like of power. Like they're not weepy like Belle and Sebastian, although I don't think Belle and Sebastian are as weepy as some people think. Yeah. But they are like guitars are turned up to 10. They're definitely a rock band. But lyrically, I think is maybe where they stand out most.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think that, and we'll probably talk about this, but there are weirdly of this time, it feels, lyrically.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think that's why the music, you know, when I listened to Spook School the first time and now, you know, obviously on this album, I have fun instantly, like just listening to it. It's just a fun album to have, like, you've got is everything they're taking. Everything you've got is everything they're taking. This is your space. This is the best place. This is yours. If they won't let you stay. Attention to it. It has like an interesting amount of depth to it, which makes it worthy of a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth listen. Mm-hmm. And again, I think this one does it better than the last one. I'll mention a couple songs that I think stand out to me. I think the opening song Still Alive is a great opening song. Yeah. It just gets you in the mood and just really great. The next few songs are really good. You know, they just kind of ride the wave of Still Alive, like ride the coattails. But I think the next greatest song is Keep in Touch. It's kind of a change in the album. It's a little slower. It's a little sadder, mm-hmm. but I think it's great. And then the high point for me in the album is All Right Sometimes. Mm-hmm. Great, great song. And then the final song is kind of almost like a punch to the stomach. High school. More of a ballad. A lot of ballads in closing out albums this year, I've noticed. But you know, you can really feel the lead singers kind of pouring it out there, and it's pretty emotional.
Well, it should be mentioned too. One interesting thing about the Spook School and their sound, and I think they do a lot of the writing individually, and at least three of the members sing lead vocals on, you know, different tracks on the album. Nightod is kind of the de facto front person of the band, mm-hmm. but his brother Adam Todd and their bass player AC Corey definitely sing lead. I'm not sure if the drummer has a lead vocal on this album or not, but from watching videos of them live and music videos, he definitely is a vocal presence in the band. Mm. One thing I thought that's really interesting about them is most of the band, aside from Nye Todd, met while doing improv comedy.
Oh.
And they even participated in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival and things like that. Lyrically, they touch on a lot of kind of serious things about gender identity, social construction, fitting in or not fitting in. Mm-hmm. And like you mentioned on that song, High School, it can be pretty heavy at sometimes, but there's a sense of fun about you know, on every song on this album, and even down to the cover of the album where they're dressed as clowns.
Yeah, you know? It makes me think of the when you talk about improv and you see the cover of the album, you know, it kind of fits right in.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
One interesting thing to note about this band, it's not really that important except for the fact that it does inform a lot of the lyrical content, especially on this album and the previous one, Try to Be Hopeful, is that that Nye Todd is transgender. Mm-hmm. And actually he came out as transgender in a while he was in his last year at university and kind of put out a very heartfelt letter online, you know, explaining it and talking about how amazing the band was as an outlet for all of this. And one really interesting thing is in 2014, prior to Try to Be Hopeful coming out, he started taking testosterone. Mm-hmm. And documenting the changes in his voice on YouTube. So you can go on YouTube and watch videos. Every week he would cover a song and you would hear how his voice changed. And it's really remarkable if you listen to like the most recent one versus the, you know, when he was just starting off on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's also a good letter. If you wish to read it, you can find it on their Facebook page. A quick Google search will also pop it up. It's a pretty heartfelt letter. I'd encourage anybody to go read it.
Yeah. And I think their lyrics, a lot of the songs are, you know, they really have something to say to their audience and they're really trying to comfort and celebrate a lot of people that otherwise don't feel so accepted by mainstream society.
Yeah. This is why I really like this album, is that it has that depth that that comes, you know, that is apart from the fun that the music is. You could listen to the album in your house and dance in your living room all day and have fun with it, but yeah, there's also like it's worth spending time with, which I can't always say about, you know, pop punk.
Yeah.
So I think it's, you know, it's for me, my favorite of their albums. I'll be honest, I haven't listened to the first one, so I can't judge the first one. But I actually looked up to see if I could catch them on tour because I was so into it. And they're opening for Diet Sig on the on their U.S. tour.
Yeah, they're doing a pretty extensive tour.
Yeah. So I'll see if I want to catch them. They're coming pretty soon, February 12th here in Portland.
That's great. Yeah, I would really, really like to catch them too. They're definitely a band, exactly like you said, you come there for the hooks and the guitar and like the kind of Buzzcocks, bittersweet punk sound that they play, but they keep your attention long after that with their attitude and their lyrics and just the passion for it, basically.
You know, I love the idea of, you know, it's a genre that is not really one you see too much from UK bands. Mm-hmm. I think the bigger pop punk bands are from this side of the ocean, but I think that the sensibilities that the bands from the UK bring to that genre are pretty unique. And one thing I did after I listened to Spook School, this album a few times, is I immediately put the Martha album on, Blisters in My Heart.
Yeah.
And one, it's a great double bill to listen to back to back.
These bands tour together a lot. They've played together a lot.
Yeah. And they're very different in a way, but there's still that the UK influence to that sound is what I think attracts me to it a lot, because it's not as straightforward as, you know, some of the pop punk bands we've had here, because we just had an explosion of them in, you know, the early 2000s, I think. And I think they're coming back, and I think we're seeing a generation that has grown up listening to that music, and they're bringing this sensibility that maybe was lost in the proliferation of them.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's a, you know, I think when I think about pop punk, like really the first band I think about is the Buzzcocks, who were a UK band. And then, you know, that song, the sound, the way it translates, especially like Southern California pop punk bands. Like you said, it's not as poetic. It's a little more on the nose. And there's something about these bands coming from the UK that sets them apart.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, very good. So that's that is Could It Be Different on Slumberland Records here in the US. In the UK, it's on a label called Alco Pop Records. They had been one of the signees of Fortuna Pop, which is one of my favorite record labels that just folded at the end of last year. Wrestle were on and various other bands. But yeah, definitely check that out. Their tour starts this week here in the States.
Yep.
Okay, switching directions a lot this week. The name of the album is Con Todo el Mundo. The band is Krungbin. Okay, so that might make you think that this is not an American band, but in fact, they're from Houston, Texas.
Yep.
Trio. I know, right? Krungbin translates to airplane in Thai, which is interesting because the band is heavily influenced by 60s, 70s Thai funk music, which is a genre I can't really say I know that much about. I thought you were going to come out with like a whole soliloquy about Thai funk music and really educate our listeners right now, Nick.
I wish I could. But I will say that I do want to know more about it now. And so maybe...
Yeah, me too. In a few, I love this album.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. I'm just going to say it right now. We have found the first great cooking album of 2018.
First great cooking album of 2018. We need a musical cue for that right now.
Fantastic. I mean, fantastic cooking album. Just this morning.
And that's high praise from us.
Oh, yeah. Just this morning, I was cooking breakfast for my girls.
What'd you make?
Breakfast burritos.
Tell me, what was inside them? Eggs?
Eggs, onions. Veggie sausage. We didn't have any potatoes, but a little little Mexican spice. It was great.
Sounds good.
Some cheese, obviously. Didn't make enough for myself, just for my girls.
You know what's important.
But I was just dancing away, just flipping the eggs, you know, just, it was great. It was such a great, great morning, drinking coffee and just grooving. And there's very few lyrics on the album. It's purely instrumental almost.
Most of the vocals are kind of there to accentuate the music. A lot of them don't really have actual words. They're just sounds and melody.
Yeah. If you really want some really good grooves and just an album that you can have that's not too distracting and have people over and people will just nod their head the whole time and they don't know why, this is the album.
Yeah.
The opening song is amazing. I think Como Me Quieres, which I believe means As I Want, followed by Lady and Man and Maria Tambien. Those three songs in a row, amazing. Maria Tambien is a hit. and then it's such a good song. This is the first song I heard from them. And then when I listened to the full album, it was still a standout. Another way I'd describe this music, if you want to have an impression before you listen to it, my first impression was like, if Quentin Tarantino doesn't put this in his next film, I'll be mad. Because it feels like a Tarantino soundtrack to me.
I can see that, like little spaghetti Western vibe to it.
Yeah.
I think the guitar player and the bass player, when they formed the band together, they discovered a blog that posted all of these Thai funk cassettes. and that's how they got into this music. And they really do talk about that being a, you know, a huge influence on the band. They formed, like I said, in Houston, Texas. One interesting thing about them is that they met in church.
Yeah.
The same church that Beyonce attended growing up in Houston. And I think you can hear a little bit of that, especially in the drumming. You know, this music is like slinky guitar lines, amazing, funky, melodic bass playing. And then the drumming is basically like hip hop breakbeats.
Yeah.
Which I think is one thing that makes it really stand out. Like I love all of the instrumentation on this record, but the drumming gives it that groove that really, it like doesn't sound like anything else to me.
No, I agree. I think I didn't know that. That makes complete sense to me, you know. And also to that, I would say it's an instrumental band, but it's not one that's you go see live and you're going to stand there and kind of sway and be taken by the music.
No.
You're going to be sweating. You're going to be dancing all night. I would say if you go on a date with your partner, and you're going to have a great night. I just can feel it. It feels like a night you want to drink old fashions and kind of be back in the 60s, 70s and just swing dance the whole night and get sweaty. The other thing that popped in mind when I first listened to them is this is the kind of band I would love to discover going to a bar that says live music tonight, not expecting much. And this band comes on and suddenly the whole place goes berserk. And this is, I think, what they could achieve if you didn't know them and you just stumbled upon the show, because it is enthralling.
Yeah.
I mean, you just want to start moving when you listen to it.
I think they have built up quite a live reputation. Unfortunately, they have three completely sold out shows here in LA. So you're not going to be able to just stumble in and see them. Maybe there's some tickets left in your town, but I would go snatch them up fast, because they're really, I think this band is really catching on and have potential to be just really unique. Like I think they could be a really big instrumental funk trio. And I can't think of another artist that's come along like this in a while.
I agree. And you know, as you're saying this, Hunter, I am actually buying two tickets to their show in Portland at Revolution Hall, Saturday, April 28th. Ladies and gentlemen, it's going to be on.
Yeah, I mean, this. The other thing, going back to like the members of this band, the drummer is also a hip-hop producer and has done has worked with a lot of big Houston artists like Slim Thug and Paul Wall and other artists like that. So I think it's got this vintage Thai funk element and also this modern hip hop element to it. And that is kind of a mashup in itself. And then the members, they constantly talk about the way that they record, which is the guitar player's got a family farm located an hour outside of Houston. And they do all of their practicing and recording in a barn out on the farm with the doors open and kind of like, beautiful Texas landscape facing them. So, and I think that's also a big influence on their music as well.
Yeah, attracting the coyotes.
If this sounds at all interesting to you, I think this will be an album you'll really like, and definitely the first great cooking album of the year. I think it's going to be hard to top this one as a cooking album.
I think it depends what you're cooking, man.
That's true. That is true.
But if you put this on and you start cooking and you don't know what you're going to make, you're going to make something really fun. You might make a mess.
Definitely.
You might make a mess, but you're going to make something really fun.
I cooked twice to this album this week, and once was like a shakshuka.
Oh, I was just reading about shakshuka last night.
Yeah, it's you know, tomatoes, onions, garlic. It's usually served for breakfast. Put an egg on top of it. But I will continue cooking to Krungven for sure.
Yeah, let's explore some Thai funk.
I think it's time to get into it. I mean, I live close enough to Thai Town. Maybe maybe there's some sweet funk venues that I haven't even discovered.
I'm sure there is.
Some other albums out this week that you might be interested in. Ty Siegel put out a new double album called Freedom's Goblin. It's getting a lot of good reviews. I'm excited to check that one out.
I just want to mention it is out on Apple Music. If you've been following our Spotify versus Apple Music debate, it is out on Apple Music.
It is not on Spotify. Their Drag City is holding out, putting their music out on Spotify. I don't know if they reached some kind of deal with Apple Music, but Apple Music, I think, is a great option for all of our Joanna Newsom fans. And a couple other like bands putting out new records this week. No Age has a new one, Snares Like a Haircut, also on Drag City, also not on Spotify. Have you checked that one out, Nick?
I've listened to three of the songs. It is on Apple Music.
And then Calexico, new album, The Thread That Keeps Us. And then there's a band called Dreamwife. They're British and Icelandic, put out their debut album, Dreamwife, that I checked out this week. Pretty cool rock album that I'd like to listen to a little bit more. And like you mentioned Craig David before, he has a new album out this week. He's kind of making a little comeback.
If you're not familiar with Craig David, in Europe, he was a big, big deal about 12 years ago.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what
maybe more than 12 years.
Than 12 years ago now. Yeah. Seven Days was a big hit in the States. And I think most people probably, they might not know Craig David's name, but they would know that song. But he was kind of a one-hit wonder over here.
Yeah. Just more notably recently, he was on two songs on the K Tronada album. And those songs were really, really good.
Fire. Those songs were straight fire. So yeah. I really like Craig David, actually. I'm glad to see him back out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man. Well, that does it for Juicebox this week. We'll be back next week. Do we know what we're reviewing next week yet? We've got a few options. Let us know if there's something you want us to check out for next week. You can hit us up on Twitter. My name is McClamrock, at McClamrock, McClamrock. And what's your Twitter handle, Nick?
At Nick Moreau, NicMoreau.
And you can now follow us on Facebook. We've got a Facebook page, Juicebox Music Podcast. Please like us on there and please subscribe. Give us 5-star reviews. Write reviews for us. We're trying to get in the new and notable section of iTunes, so it would really help us out if you did that.
Yeah, we realize we only have 8 weeks to do it, and it's been 5 weeks now, so we gotta get going.
We gotta get going on that. But we really thank you guys for your support and for listening to us. And we're gonna keep making this show better and better for you.
All right, bye, Hunter.
See ya.